me to say only what you once said. Father, I ask for your blessings upon us. I ask you that we can truly hear, and that your word will truly be a light unto our paths and a lamp unto our lives. I ask you to be with us. Father, I take this opportunity now to pray for those that are flying to Haiti. Father, I pray for our children and for our adults that are going with them. I ask you to watch over them. Father, even the adults that are driving even back from the airport now, I ask you to watch them, take care of them, be with them, Lord God. I pray that their journey is prosperous. I pray, Lord God, that you'll minister not only to these young people, but also with these young people, and they will be able to impart some spiritual gift to the children of Haiti. I ask you to bless them. Lord, I know you're changing their lives, and I know you're making an impact upon them, and I ask you to watch over them in Jesus' name. Everybody says, hallelujah. Amen. Be seated. I was talking with someone this week, and I don't remember exactly who it was, but I was remembering how old I was when I finally got to go overseas on some sort of a missions trip, and I was in my 30s. And, you know, now we've got kids going 12, and they're going, and it makes such an impact. Once you've gone overseas and you've seen it, you're always have a passion and a compassion for those people that you didn't have aforetime. You can see pictures, but pictures don't have smells. You can see pictures, but pictures don't have sounds. It's when you go and you really sense it and you experience it that really impacts you and changes you. I am so thankful that God is allowing our kids to go at such an early time, such an early age, and be so changed. Amen. Well, okay. The unmerciful servant. Or to forgive or not to forgive. That is the question. There's two little words in chapter 6 verses 14 and 15 that we make sure we want to amplify. It says, and if, let's see, do I have that there? Yeah, and if you forgive, and if you forgive not. Now, the point that I must cause us to see here is that forgiveness is a decision we make. It's a decision that we will make individually to do or not to do. The aspects of what this verse means, the ramifications of what these verses mean, are extraordinary and enormous. The Bible says, Jesus says, that if we forgive, what will our Heavenly Father do? Forgive us. But if we choose not to forgive, what is the ramification? What is the results of not forgiving? What will the Heavenly Father do for us? He won't forgive us. Does he really mean that?
Oh, yeah.
Was he just pulling our leg? No. This is extremely serious because the people that we become upset with and hold bitterness in our hearts toward aren't hindered or hurt or damaged in any way because of our bitterness. Who actually suffers from it is us. And it's a decision. It's a decision, an act of your will. An act of my will to forgive or not to forgive. And if I do, I can receive God's graces and God's mercies and God's blessings upon my life. But if I don't, I put a block up, I put a wall up, and he can't move on me. He can't move for me or with me or through me. Years ago, I was purposefully sinned against by a person. I mean, it was a purposeful thing. It was a thing planned out. It was a thing done to me to destroy me, my family, my ministry. It was a purposed, planned out thing. I was consumed by it. I couldn't sleep well at night. I was consumed by it. I couldn't eat. My day, my mind was bound in this thing. I was angry. I was bitter. I was mad. I wanted to take somebody by the throat. I was praying. I said, Lord, this person did this and did this. I was explaining it all to him. And he has caused me, his sin has caused me to lose my joy and my peace. And the Holy Spirit said, Delbert, another person's sin cannot cause you to lose your peace. I said, well, it did. Delbert, another person's sin cannot cause you to lose your peace. I said, Lord, you're acting like I'm to blame here. I'm the victim, remember. This is me. I am the one here that was damaged. I am the one that was sinned against. I am the one that was hurt. Delbert, another person's sin will not cause you to lose your peace. I knew what he meant. I could forgive him and get my peace back, my joy back, or I could maintain that and let it bind me and keep me forever. So, I began the forgiving process. And that is not fun. It is truly an act of your will. And initially, it is simply mental assent. Initially, you're doing it because you know you're supposed to, and you're saying words that you don't mean. But that's where it begins. Forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness is not instantaneous. Forgiveness is a process. And it's a process we determine to do or not to do. But my point is, what are the ramifications if we don't? You've seen people that were so bitter for so many years and their body is sick. Their families are destroyed. They can't keep a job. Things are so bad because they're tormented. A day doesn't go by, a week doesn't go by that this thing does not torment their mind. Anger, bitterness, resentment. I was watching Oprah Winfrey one day, and she began to tell a story about her in her childhood. She was a child, and she was sexually abused by an uncle. And she was sharing how she had such bitterness and anger, how she hated this man, and how she just wanted him to die. She hated him so badly. But it came to a day in her life when she realized what a bondage she was under, and that this guy was fine. And to let her spirit go, and that's the way she said it, I had to forgive him. I had to forgive him. There is so much going on today. Some of us, and I know, have were raised in abusive families. Maybe we had an abusive parent, or our mother beat us. You know, there may have been abusive situations. You may have been had a relation, an uncle or aunt, or some sort of relation that sexually molested you. There are so much that goes on. You may have had a relationship as you were growing old that tried to control you and injured you and wounded you, and that's in your heart. Maybe you were married and your marriage didn't work out, and there was a divorce, and that put some bitterness in you because of what this individual did to you, or to your life and to your future and to your hopes and your dreams. There is so much. Maybe a boss at work did something, or an employer, maybe a preacher, maybe a Christian. And every time you see that person or hear that name or think about that thought or that time, the video runs. And in your mind, you relive it. And again, you're angry. You're tormented. We've got to come to a place of recognizing it's controlling us. We're not controlling it. We've got to come to a place of forgiving it. And it's totally an act of our will. This is why this was a message for the disciples. This isn't a message for everybody. Everybody's incapable. But the disciples are capable. If you're a learner after Jesus, you will make sure that what I'm sharing with you today is taken care of in your life, because you want the blessings of God. Jesus says, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. Listen, he didn't come to give us abundant death. He came to give us abundant life. And one way we'll receive it is by opening and making sure that there is no unforgiveness in our lives, and we can receive his goodness into us. We don't block it. So, one day Peter came to Jesus. He said, Lord, how many times, how oft should I forgive? Seven times? Now listen, that's pretty good. Think about that. How many of us would really forgive someone seven times if they continuously sinned against us, hurt us, trespassed against us? How many of us would really be capable of doing that? Well, first of all, I think there's a few things that need to be said. I think you're an absolute idiot if you give a person an opportunity to wound you seven times. I think if you keep hanging around this person that keeps blasting you, there's something wrong with you. But if you did, you know, after the first time I'm cautious, the second time I've marked them and avoid them, I'll give them a third shot. So you know, seven times. Well, now, Jesus replies, and Jesus gives a really ridiculous answer. Why? Because Peter's question was ridiculous. How many times should you forgive? Seven times? Jesus says, Peter, I say not seven times. I say seven times 70. A ridiculous answer for a ridiculous question. What Jesus is really saying here is you got to forget the times. You got to stop counting, Peter. How many of you know people that keep a log? I mean, it is on videotape in here, in the archives of their brain, and they can replay that video 15, 20, 30 years ago. They can rerun that video, tell you exactly what was said, quote it word for word, how it hurt, where you were standing, and have the look on your face. Because they're counting times. And you can paraphrase that however you want to. But what Jesus is saying, Peter, it's not important how many times. The importance is, did you forgive? What did you do, Peter? If it was 490 times, did you forgive 490 times? The count's not what's important. The time somebody injures us is not what's important. What is important is, did we handle it the way we must handle it to receive the blessings and the forgiveness of God?